This summer, commentator Emily Wiley has been catching up with her old students. She teaches public school in the Bronx. Of particular interest to her are the students who've just completed their first year of college, some at elite private universities that are very different from the Bronx of their childhoods.
When Marisol and Rosaline went off to college last fall, I watched with a mixture of pride and fear. Both were among the most clever, curious, and successful of seniors at our small Bronx high school. Nobody questioned that they should go to one of the small prestigious colleges that woos kids like ours. These colleges offered status and probable scholarship money, and in the face of this, their mostly white environments seemed a pretty negligible hitch. Last year, I got the fun job of driving Mari and Rosie to one of their tours. We zoomed giddily down a rural highway to get there, waving at cows and singing. But when we arrived, my girls fell suddenly quiet. I watched them trying to imagine themselves into that green place. From their expressions, it must have felt like sudden blindness or vertigo. They both slept hard, slumped against each other in the back seat the whole way home. Now, after a year of nail-biting and email queries, this summer I've heard most of my prodigal students' stories. Mostly, I sit across from them at coffee shops, giddy with relief. They are, by and large, the same students I knew before they left the Bronx. They have struggled on their odyssey to college, but returned with their souls undamaged, eager to go back. Marisol, for instance, laughed when I asked for a one-word description of college and said, "Roller coaster." She told of making real friends with her exotic suburban Jewish roommate. She auditioned for dance and made an advanced class. Academics presented some stomach-churning drops. In her calculus class, she struggled to teach herself the basics the professor felt ready to skip because the rest of his students had had AP in high school. She had the same problem in biology, where, after the first test, her professor actually took her aside and told her that pre-med might not be the path for her. Luckily, this horrifying behavior sent Marisol fuming to the library. Her rigorous study earned her an A from that professor second semester. The only downside to her story seems to be that the Bronx now feels a little foreign. It's not so natural now between her and her friends who didn't go away to school. The boys on her block aren't so interesting anymore. She's straddling cultures, and the stretch hurts a little bit. Some don't manage so well. Rosie's story, for instance, is very nearly the negative of Marisol's. She's thinking of leaving her scholarship and marrying the boy from home she'd been attached to all year. She'd made only one set of friends in the college, all kids of color in the school multicultural society. And when their insular group imploded, she had no other roots at school and attached even more firmly to home. It is exactly what I didn't expect from scintillant Rosie, and my instinct is to disapprove. But I can't disapprove. This summer, I've learned from my students exactly how identity-crushing these odysseys away from home can be. And I've seen how often they come back feeling transformed, but a little homeless. So I no longer take for granted that the status and scholarships offered by mostly white, wealthy schools are always worth the prices my kids pay. I'll save my disapproval for myself and for the poverty of advice I offered Rosaline. There are many different paths to a rich education than those we steered her towards, many closer to home. I'll have more options for the next set of students who seek my direction. I'll know better than to tell them what they want.
Emily Wiley lives in New York.